Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, TJ Power is an esteemed neuroscientist, international speaker and co-founder of Neurify, an organisation at the forefront of mental health, providing accessible and scientifically backed teachings to enhance our society's mental health. Today's fast-paced world leaves many struggling with extreme emotional highs and lows caused by chemical imbalances in our brains, brought on by the pressures of modern life and constant digital connectivity. In his book, The Dose Effect, Power shares how you can reset and balance your brain chemistry with simple everyday habits to lead a happier, healthier and more productive life. He joins me on the line now. TJ, you're very welcome.
Amazing. Thank you for having me.
And congratulations on the book. Very interesting topic. So we'll get stuck in. But I want to start perhaps with your dedication. It reads, "I dedicate this book to you and the transformational health journey you are about to experience." So TJ, you obviously truly believe that people have the power to transform their own health.
100%. After the last 5 years of working with thousands and thousands of people in companies and schools, I've seen the most phenomenal transformations take place with all aspects of people's health when they look at health down the lens of these brain chemicals.
And I'm conscious that even in the introduction, when I'm talking about people experiencing emotional highs and lows and chemical brain imbalance, that there are going to be people who perhaps have depression, have suffered with depression over time, or have a loved one who is. And I'm conscious I want to speak to them that you're not suggesting, you know, that there's any guilt or shame associated with feeling these ways and that, you know, with a simple couple of tweaks, you'll be fine. That's not the message of your book.
No, that isn't the message of the book. And I really deeply connect with the people that are navigating those painful moments in their life. For about 5 years, I struggled very, very severely with my mental health. I went through a very significant period of grief and then into depression and struggled with various addictions. So I really relate to that pain someone may be experiencing. And it's not that suddenly you know how your brain chemistry works and overnight you feel amazing, but it could provide some answers to the pain you're navigating and some relief and solutions towards a better headspace for you all.
Yeah, so this is more empowering information.
100%. And it's not to suggest like this is a genetic chemical imbalance issue or anything like that. But it's really important with mental health to consider the idea that if you're not going through a really significant life event right now, like if you're going through grief or a divorce or you've lost your job or something like a really significant life event, that's of course going to be very turbulent for your mental health. But if your life is fairly stable right now, but you still are experiencing lots of symptoms of depression or anxiety or stress, it could be that some of the aspects of the modern lifestyle are impacting your brain chemistry and creating these symptoms.
And you also urge people that as they read the book, that they begin to tune in to the messages that their brain and body is giving them on a daily basis. Talk to us a little bit about how important that is. And do you feel people are disconnected from that?
Yeah, so for me, what basically happened is I was someone that was like really addicted to my phone. It was something that was really a big part of the challenge I was having with my mental health, was this like constant need to scroll my phone. And I started this mindfulness course when I was doing my undergraduate at university. And I couldn't believe how hard it was to sit in the quiet, because I would sit in the quiet and suddenly I'd hear this loud voice sort of attempting to guide me, but it almost felt judgmental, this inner voice, for the lifestyle I was living with my phone or alcohol consumption or pornography, the kind of things that I didn't think were very good for my brain. And gradually I started easing in, spending more time in the quiet, and discovered a lot of the messages that we receive in the quiet are actually very useful messages, effectively from these brain chemicals trying to guide us towards a healthier path.
And can you touch, before we get into the book and DOSE and what it's an acronym for, your own story on what led you to study psychology? You touched on some of the mental health issues you had, but where did this neuroscience piece come in?
Yeah, so between the ages of 16 and 21, I lost 5 people in my family, which was extremely painful as a young man to navigate, as it would be for anyone at any stage in their life. And I studied psychology throughout that period. I started with my A-levels at college, then my undergraduate, and then into my master's. And I was really searching for an answer to some of the pain that I was navigating and the particular kind of unhealthy addiction type of lifestyle I had. And when I first discovered the brain chemical dopamine, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, it provided so much clarity over to what was driving my behavior. But then a lot of the symptoms of low dopamine, which include things like low mood and depression and inattention and lack of attention span, it was suddenly like, wow, there's actually like a brain chemical that's kind of responsible for some of the challenges I have here. Then I went on to discover more and more in my research and lecturing all about these brain chemicals. And for me, it helped so much that I had this really strong desire to share it with others.
And I think it's worth pointing out, because it was something that really jumped off the pages to me as a parent of a teenage son who is struggling at school and neurodivergent, that you really struggled at school. You couldn't find a topic that you're interested in, and now you're a neuroscientist and author. I just think it's worth pointing that out.
For sure. Like, I had a very tricky time at school. I couldn't concentrate in class at all, to be honest. And I never found anything I really connected with. And I was one of those kids that just like kind of wanted to game all the time and not really be in school. And it was when I was 16 and I discovered this like topic of psychology, I thought, oh, that's actually like kind of interesting to me. Like, you couldn't study it for GCSEs, but then when I went to college, you could. And it really began to change everything for me, finding something I was actually deeply passionate about. And that doesn't have to be a topic at school, but for any young person, it's very important that they identify something in their life that they find interesting and engaging.
So let's talk about the book then. DOSE is an acronym for the brain's four key chemicals: dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphin. So in it, you're looking to provide an alternative route through our modern world, which I found in itself more optimistic than the feeling that seems to be out there that we are sleepwalking to brain drain in the always on tech world, and that there isn't really another way. Sure, how could we live without our phones and tech and all of that stuff, and that we're just going to have to stick with it, whereas you're providing an alternative route to be able to cope with all of this.
Definitely. I mean, it's really interesting because these brain chemicals evolved for hundreds of thousands of years when we were hunter-gatherers to help us hunt and stay connected as a group and find natural food to eat and build our shelters. And they really originated for a very different lifestyle, a lifestyle that was very challenging and effortful and complicated to survive. And our modern world is the complete opposite. Like, our modern world is a lot safer and it's a lot easier to acquire food, and obviously we're always in the comfort of warmth and in our homes and so on. And whilst there are many challenges in the modern world, we've actually got the best opportunity to feel incredible in this world today. It's just important that as we move towards these tech sort of digital based lifestyles as a species, we don't forget about the fact that humans spent hundreds of thousands of years outside, and there's some actions that we can learn from our ancestors that will help us today.
Yeah, it really jumped out off the page also at me that for most of history, we spent 85% of our time outdoors. And now in the modern world, we spend 7%. I mean, that's bound to have an impact on us. So talk to us about these chemicals and how they work for us.
Yeah, so each of these four chemicals has a really specific function. I think for lots of us in the modern world, we've come to understand them as sort of like a group of happy hormones. And there is truth in that, but they have a little bit more specificity in them. Dopamine is basically this chemical that motivates us. So it gets us to do anything that's effortful or challenging. Something as simple as the task of having to change and wash your bedding. It's a load of effort, but it feels good when you get in your freshly washed bed. Dopamine is like this motivational molecule. Oxytocin then connects us. You can see it as the connection chemical. It creates feelings of love with the people in your life. Serotonin lifts our mood. And then endorphins have this amazing ability to de-stress our brain. And there's certain actions that can specifically boost each one.
And what about the DOSE Lab then? Because that's interesting. This isn't just something that you have come up with that you're looking to promote. You've actually put this into action and have had some great results.
Yeah, so we've been running this for about 3 years. Anyone coming through DOSE goes through a really cool Likert scale measurement test, which will assess people's motivation, attention, confidence, energy levels, sleep, exercise, nutrition, like these core elements. And then we'll take people through the DOSE experience and get a really good understanding as to what the benefits are that occur. And yeah, we've been working with over 50,000 people now over the last 3 years. And as a lab, we're collecting some incredible, interesting and valuable data for society.
Can you give us some of the top line results that you found when people made these small changes, the impact it was having on their day-to-day?
Yeah, definitely. So one of the big things we see a big improvement on is with people's focus. And focus is such a huge challenge now in our modern world. We've seen a 48% improvement in people's concentration and deep focus when they learn to optimize their brain chemicals. We have a huge improvement in what we call healthy phone usage. We see a 50% improvement there. And then another big element is people's motivation. And we look at people's motivation to exercise, which is something we all kind of know we need to do, but some of us struggle to do consistently. And we see a 40% improvement in people's motivation to exercise, which is really great for their brain chemistry.
And these people didn't necessarily step away from technology and start to live in the woods. This is about continuing to live in the modern world, but making sure you're in control of it rather than it being in control of you.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I'm also in the ridiculously ironic situation of I run a big social media account. So I'm in this place of like saying technology is like, we've got to be a little bit careful with it, but I'm also on technology teaching this idea. So it is definitely an idea that doesn't involve you having to completely separate and go and be a hunter-gatherer. But I would say when you look at something with the phone, we've tried so many methods to help people break their phone addictions. And easily the most effective is just developing a little bit more of a comfortable relationship with the idea of physically separating from it more often, which would mean when you're watching TV, you put it in another room. When you're cooking, you put it in another room. When you're working, you put it in another room. And you don't always have it next to you. So you don't always get these quick dopamine hits from your phone, and your brain gets these opportunities to recharge that key chemical.
What are things we can replace it with, particularly when it comes to dopamine? Because we're always seeking dopamine one way or another, aren't we? So what are some of the replacements you suggest?
Yeah, so one of the best things in the world for dopamine is something called flow state. Flow state is when we get really deeply immersed in a task. And all of us as humans have a specific activity in our life that gets us into this state. And it can be to do with your working life. It could be cleaning. It could be cooking. It could be playing sport. And being in these deep states of focus builds a ton of this chemical. And what's super interesting in the modern world is lots of us obviously love scrolling social media now. If you look at your social media feed, you'll notice there's a specific theme of video that's coming up really often, and that might be cooking or cleaning or sport or nature or music or art. The reason that's coming up so often is because it's something that you actually will instinctively enjoy doing yourself. And rather than being a society that's now just watching others engage in our flow state, if we can actually engage in the activity, that's amazing for our brain.
So do you think everybody will know what their flow state activity is, or how do they find it if it's not coming to mind now?
Yeah, I don't think you would necessarily know. Like, that would definitely be something to ponder. And I would ask yourself, like, when is the last time you found yourself so immersed in a task that you felt like you lost track of time? And that could happen in anything. Like, if you ask your teenagers that question, they may have a different answer. Obviously, you'll have a different answer. But you're looking for something where it fully engages your mind. And I would consider looking at your social media feed and looking at the types of videos that come up, because often the answer to that question is in the video that comes up most. For a lot of people, an activity like cleaning can help you access flow state, because whilst it's not fun at the beginning, you'll notice you kind of get this increased level of satisfaction as the task progresses. And that's this beginning of dopamine increasing and flow state occurring.
Can we touch also then on oxytocin, the connecting chemical? Do you feel in the tech world that we are becoming less connected, even though we have all these followers and these online communities? Is it still really important that we step away from those and make sure that we're making time for IRL, as they say?
Yeah, I mean, IRL is very important. Oxytocin is such a key chemical for a human being to feel happy and loved, and also very importantly for us to feel calm. We have this other hormone that many people have heard of called cortisol, which is a stress hormone. And whenever oxytocin increases through the experience of love, cortisol plummets, meaning our stress levels reduce significantly. And we're living in kind of a dopamine dominant world right now, where it's all pleasure and success and progress, and that's kind of a big priority in our brains. Oxytocin would mean real prioritization of connecting with people, good conversations, active listening, eye contact, physical touch, contributing to others. And in that state, it makes our brain feel so much better.
You talk about social life. is it important that people push through, be you an introvert or an extrovert, and make sure that we're connected with like-minded people?
Yeah, and with social life, everyone has their own preferences. You don't have to suddenly go and go to like big parties with loads of people if that isn't your thing. But you just need, at the minimum, one-on-one social connection in real life with someone that you care for. And we do need that fairly regularly, like ideally every day. But if it wasn't possible every day, it'd be every few days. And I would say, for the people that are more introverted, that may have slightly lower levels of oxytocin than those that are constantly out and about socializing, one really interesting bit of research by a lady called Seltzer basically studied what the impact of texting versus calling was on our oxytocin levels. And they've actually found that when we text one another, no oxytocin releases in our brain. But as soon as we call one another, oxytocin begins to release. And that really puts a lot of weight on the idea of FaceTiming people rather than always texting them is a lot better for the feeling of love and connection.
Yeah, I love a phone call, but I think people are get a bit shocked when you ring now and, you know, unannounced knocks on the door, the front door, are also a bit of a no-go in today's modern world. But I think, you know, the generation that didn't grow up with technology still has a foot in each camp and knows how they should be feeling. But what about the Gen Z coming up don't know any different? What's your advice for them to make sense of it when the way they connect is so much online?
Yeah, I mean, I spend my whole life every week in schools talking with young people. I'm also Gen Z, so like I relate to this idea. And we go in schools and often I'll ask young people, like when they maybe after their summer holidays or whatever it may be, what's the funnest experience you had in your whole summer holiday? And the answer is often always the same. Like they'll ponder in their head, oh, what was the most fun thing I did? Often what they end up responding is, oh, me and my friends went to this park and there was this river and then we went in this river for a bit. And they'll often come up with that. Like they may have only done that once in the whole summer, but they remember doing it. And we just really get them to promote. We really promote the idea of once a week, socializing in nature with your friends in order to get a big boost of these dose chemicals. And then if there's time in their life where they want to Snapchat one another and stuff, that's part of their upbringing. That's what they want to do. But if they could have one really social moment in nature per week, that would be incredible.
Yeah, it's really good advice. And, you know, less about restricting and more about what are you adding in. So people following the program, I mean, I say this not as a cynic, but as somebody who has coached people, people start out on these health transformation journeys full of enthusiasm and motivation and they're ready and then life gets in the way. So what's the neuroscience of staying on track, staying focused and remaining motivated to see it through?
The important thing to understand is we've kind of been led to believe that motivation is something that just comes and goes and like it's really frustrating because sometimes I feel really motivated and sometimes I don't. And that's almost random. And from a neuroscience perspective, that's not the case. We are very much in control of our motivation level based on how much quick dopamine are we engaging with. Because if there's a lot of nice natural dopamine in our brain, we are very motivated for life. And if we have low dopamine levels, our motivation will plummet. And say, for example, for a few days, I woke up and I was quite disciplined and I got out of bed when I woke up and I made my bed and I went for a walk, I'd be building lots of natural dopamine. Then say on the third or fourth day, I was like, oh, I can't really bother for that anymore. Like I woke up and I just didn't engage a bit of discipline and I went straight into my phone. I would then plummet my dopamine level and then my motivation for everything would change. So my motivation to cook a healthy breakfast, to concentrate when I'm working, to read a few pages of a book, everything about my motivation would reduce because I went on the phone first thing in the morning. So I would say if you're wanting to stay consistently motivated, it's all about resisting your phone first thing.
Yeah, it's really good advice. And I do think it's important that we sort of show up for ourselves. And if we make a promise to ourselves to do something, if we don't, if we do go, F it, I'm going to take the phone up today, there is a niggling criticism rolling around in the background of our heads all the time. So it kind of negates whatever the coziness was that we thought we were getting from reaching for that phone. So it's about reframing it and having a bit more of a positive narrative running in our brain.
Definitely. And that feeling of guilt, that is your brain chemicals talking to you. Your brain chemicals want you to go up, get out of bed and attack the day. And We really don't want a life where we feel guilty for our actions. And I have this framework in my head of earning my dopamine. Like, I love going on social media in the evening. Like, I'll go on my iPad and I'll scroll social media and I'll love it because I've earned the experience of that pleasure. I don't sit there feeling guilty as I consume the content. Whereas if I went in the morning and I didn't do anything, but I went straight into it, I'd have this feeling of guilt. So if you can have in your head, I'm going to do hard things first and then I'm going to earn the dopamine of the quick pleasure, it's so much better for the brain chemistry.
Well, it is a book that I would highly recommend. It's a very easy read. Everything is broken down and it'll just give you a really good understanding of how your brain works and small tweaks that can help you feel better. And, you know, what can be better than that? It is called The Dose Effect, Small Habits to Boost Your Brain Chemistry. TJ Power, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.